What happens when a nation turns its back on God? When a nation who once had the light of God, the fear of God, the respect and trust of God, what happens when they turn their back on that knowledge, that light, and they walk away from God? You need to know the answer to that question, beloved, because it concerns you if you live in the United States of America. Let's look at His precepts for life. Hello, my friend. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for wanting to know God's precepts for life, because with His precepts, we get understanding. With His precepts, we hate every false way. With His precepts, we know how to live and how to have the true blessing of God. So thank you so much for wanting to study His Word, precept upon precept. Well, as you know, we're looking at America at the crossroads. And as we look at Ezekiel chapter 14, we're there because God is telling us what happens when a country sins against Him. Ezekiel chapter 14, let me read verse 12 and verse 13. Then the word of the Lord came to me, Ezekiel is writing, saying, Son of man, that's what God called Ezekiel, if a country sins against me, against God, by committing unfaithfulness, and I stretch out my hand against it, destroy its supply of bread, send famine against it, and cut off from it both man and beast, even though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in its midst, in the middle of that country, by their own righteousness, they could only deliver themselves, declares the Lord. From that point on, and we're going to look at it in just a minute, and I want you, by the way, to get your study guide. Did you go online for your free study guide? Did you go to preceptsforlife.com? If not, don't do it right now, but do it at the end of the program. Get your free study guide so you can discover truth for yourself, so that you can know that you know that you know that this is what God says. And when you know, when you discover truth for yourself, you then know that you don't have to compromise or shrink back from what you believe or the standards that you hold, because you know that these didn't come from ordinary men that are here today and gone tomorrow, like the flower of the field or the grass of somebody's yard. But they are the living words of God, the words that live and abide forever, the words that are a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path, the words that are the precepts of life. Well, as we look at Ezekiel, I've told you, and now I'm about to do it, I want you to understand the setting of Ezekiel. I want you to see, what is the context, the historical context in which these words and chapter 14 is occurring? First of all, you have to understand that Israel had been disobedient to God. Remember in Ezekiel 14, the chapter opens up by the elders that are coming and asking God, God, speak to us. And yet they have set up idols in their hearts. Not only have they set up idols in their hearts, but they have put stumbling blocks right before their eyes. And they're thinking, hey, I can get away with this. Oh, no, they can't. Because God searches the heart. God knows everything that's going on in the heart and mind. And God, seeing that, sees in truth where a man or a woman is. So when we look at Ezekiel and we want to understand its historical setting, which is so important, it is the year, and you can see this in Ezekiel chapter 1, it is the year 593 B.C., 593 B.C. Now, if you have an inductive study Bible, it already tells you that in the margin. But Ezekiel opens up this way. Now it came about in the 30th year on the fifth day of the fourth month. God wants you to know exactly when it happened. While I, and this is Ezekiel, was by the river Kabar among the exiles, the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. And then it says, now on the fifth of the month, in the fifth year of King Jehoiakim's exile, the word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel, or Yehezkel, the priest, son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Kedar, and there the hand of the Lord came upon him. So he puts us in historical context. Now, what I'd like to do is just unpack that for a few minutes, because it is very important. When you look at it, it says in the 30th year. It's the 30th year of Yehezkel's, or Ezekiel's, life. Ezekiel is called a priest. Where is he? He's in the land of the Chaldeans. Now, the land of the Chaldeans is present-day Iraq. It was ancient Babylon. Babylonians, Chaldeans were one in the same people. So he's in ancient Babylon, which is modern day Iraq. That's very much in the news today. And by the way, if you know the Bible and you've studied the Bible and you've studied prophecy, you know that Babylon, Iraq, plays a humongous role in the last days just before Jesus Christ comes. And God destroys Babylon in the most incredible way, just as he is coming to earth to reign again as the second time. That's when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I mean, they may have said Jesus this and Christ that. And I was shocked the other day when I was listening to a news interview, and all of a sudden the man just said, Christ, you know, like that. And I thought, I cannot believe that he said that and that he got away with taking the Lord's name in vain. He got away with it on television, but he will not get away with it before the Lord. He will answer to that. That's why God, one of the commandments is, you shall not take my name in vain. Because if you do that, God will not hold you guiltless. In other words, you're guilty and God will hold you accountable. Well, Ezekiel is in Iraq, in modern, in ancient Babylon. He's 30 years old. He's a priest. And you know what? He is never going back to his home country. His home country is Israel. He is a Jew. And what happened was he was deported in 597 B.C. There were three sieges of Jerusalem. The first one happened in 605 B.C., and that's when Daniel was taken into captivity, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, his three Jewish brothers. Those are the names that were given to him in Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar was the one that besieged Jerusalem, and then his father died, and so he went home to claim the kingdom. He became the ruler of Iraq, of modern, of ancient Babylon. In 597, because Israel rebelled against his rule, then he sent an army again. This time, 10,000 were taken captive. This time, the things were taken out of the temple. I mean, this time, it was really bad. And among those captives was Ezekiel. Now he is 30 years old. He is in captivity. There is another siege of Jerusalem coming in 586 BC. In 586 BC, the famous temple of Solomon is going to be destroyed. It is going to be torn down, and Jerusalem is going to be, in a sense, razed to the ground, and the people are going to go into captivity until just in a sense the despised of the population are going to be left there. So this is a message coming after the second siege of Jerusalem. And the first part of Ezekiel is about judgment and deliverance. Judgment and deliverance. And when you read this first these first chapters of Ezekiel, and you might want to write this down, it is a book of judgment and deliverance. And when you read the first chapters of this this book, Ezekiel 1 to 24 talks about the judgment of Judah and Jerusalem. And then Ezekiel 25 to 32 talks about the judgment of other nations. And then Ezekiel 33 to 48 talks about the restoration of Judah, Jerusalem, and the temple that will be destroyed. Now, what is so interesting is at the age of 30, if you were born into the tribe of Levi, if you were a Kohathite then what you did was you entered the priesthood. And that's what he was to do, Ezekiel, and he was to serve in the temple, but he would never see that temple, because in 597, he was taken into Babylon. In 586, it was Jerusalem was destroyed and the temple was destroyed. But what is so interesting in that final segment from chapter 33 on, what you have is you have a description of the millennial temple that is yet to come when Jesus Christ returns and sets up his kingdom. So as you look at this book, it is a book of judgment and deliverance. Ezekiel is a book that shows the glory of God in his judgment. Now, when I speak of the glory of God, what I'm talking about is a correct estimate, a correct opinion of God. Most of the world doesn't have a correct estimate of God. Most of the people don't understand that he is our creator, that he is our sustainer, that he is the righteous, loving God that has given his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who in the fullness of time was born to come and to give his life a ransom for many, born to die, to pay for our sins, that you and I, who were sinners, might have forgiveness of sins. Most people don't understand that. And that's why that man used Jesus' name in vain. And yet, what we also don't understand is that God is not just a God of love. He's a God of righteous judgment. We'll talk about it in just a minute, but I've got good news that goes with it. Girls, I don't know about you, but I know about me. I know that life is really demanding right now and that there are lots of pressures. And what I do every day is I cry, "Help, Lord. I want to be the woman you want me to be in this situation." And I'm sure that that's the way you feel. I say, "Help, Lord. I need peace. I need understanding. I need hope." Well, that happens to be the title of our women's conference that's coming October 21st through the 23rd. And we want to invite you to come. I can see you and eat with you and have fellowship with you and open the Word of God along with other women who have been in all sorts of varied situations. We're going to teach you the Word of God, and we're going to bring you, I pray, into a relationship with God that will strengthen you for the days ahead. Come and join us. I would love to put my arms around your neck. Welcome back, beloved. Thank you for listening to that important announcement. You know, we want you to have these tools in your hands because we want you to grow. We want you to grow in the knowledge of God. We're a 3D ministry, so to speak. We're all about discover truth for yourself, but then we're about going deeper, not solo, but going deeper with others. In other words, getting in a Bible study with others, studying God's word inductively, learning how to study it, and then learning the different books of the Bible. Because God wrote 66 books. He expects you to understand 66 books. You better get busy. So if you're interested in finding out about a class in your area, just go online to preceptsforlife.com, preceptsforlife.com, or pick up the phone and call us 1-800-763-1990. That's 1-800-763-1990. And we'll show you how you can get connected more. Well, 3 D's. The third D is disciple. Disciple means that you learn about God, you become a follower of Jesus Christ and of God and his precepts for life, and then you are used of God to bring others into the kingdom, to introduce them to Jesus Christ. Well, I've told you that Ezekiel is a book that talks about judgment and deliverance. I've told you that it's a book that teaches us about the glory of God in his judgment. The third thing I want you to see is, and this is very important, that Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel, shows us the importance and the consequences of our ways. And this is where we're zeroing in because America is at the crossroads. America has turned its back on God, and America is going to suffer the punishment of God, as we saw in Ezekiel 14. If a country sins against me, then I will. And we haven't seen all the I wills yet. But it shows the importance of our ways. So what I want to do is take you to Ezekiel chapter 7. And in verses 3 and 4 and then 7 to 9, 3 and 4 and 7 to 9, what I want you to see is two key phrases that show up throughout the whole book. And what I want to urge you to do is, for your quiet time, read through the book of Ezekiel in your Bible and watch for phrases, these two phrases. It might be in different words, according to the translation of the Bible that you're using, but you'll see the similarity. So listen to what it says. And I'm going to read verses 1 and 2 so that I can put you into context. Ezekiel 7, verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, I want you to know these are the words from God's mouth. This is God's word. It never changes. It never alters. It's absolute truth. And you, son of man, speaking to Ezekiel, thus says the Lord God to the land of Israel, an end. The end is coming on the four corners of the land. Judgment's coming. Now the end is upon you, and I will send my anger against you. So many times we want a God that is just kind of a namby-pamby God, a God that says, I love you, I love you, I love you. You can do anything you want, get away with it, because I'm just a God of love. But he's not just a God of love. He's righteous and he's holy. And he says, I will judge you. Remember, it's a book of judgment and deliverance according to your ways. Now that's the phrase you need to mark, according to your ways. In other words, you choose the judgment of God. You choose or you escape the judgment of God according to your ways. He says, and bring all your abominations on you. for my eye will have no pity on you, nor will I spare you. Now, God is talking to Israel. No other nation on the face of this earth has the relationship with God that Israel has. They are his elect, chosen people. They are a nation that was formed out of all the nations of the earth. They have Abraham as their father, Isaac, and then Jacob or Israel. They are God's covenant people. And he's saying, I will judge you according to your ways, bring all your abominations on you, for my eye will have no pity on you, nor will I spare you. I will bring your ways upon you, and your abominations will be among you. And then this is the next phrase that you want to mark throughout the book of Ezekiel. He says, then you will know that I am the Lord. Then you will know. When do they know? It's when judgment comes because of their sin. You see, so many times when we turn away from God, it's a gradual turn. And what we do is we let in a little sin here and a little sin there and a little sin here a little, there a little, you know, and the sin comes in. And then pretty soon, in a sense, we're inoculated. We're anesthetized. We live in a culture and the culture is sinning also. And so the culture, you know, doesn't condemn us in any way. And so we think we're all right because we compare ourselves with ourselves. And what God is saying is, when you get this way and you're not listening to me and you have turned from the light and you have walked in the darkness, then I'm going to do something that will make you realize that I am the Lord. And what he does is he brings judgment. Now, that judgment is for the purpose of deliverance, because God is holy and God is righteous. He cannot close his eyes to sin. He cannot turn his back on sin. So he has to judge it. His righteousness demands, it commands his judgment of sin. Now let's go to verse 7 through 9. And this is what he says in 7 through 9. He says, your doom has come upon you, O inhabitant of the land. The time has come. The day is near. Tumult rather than joyful shouting on the mountains. And I want to tell you something. There was a happier day in America. There was a day when your children were safe playing in the streets. I know. I was raised in that day. We didn't even lock our doors. We didn't have to. We didn't worry about our children playing in the streets. We didn't realize that they or fear that someone would take them and hold them captive and sexually molest them and mutilate them and do all these terrible things. But what has happened is, because there's no fear of God before our eyes, because we have abandoned the Bible, because we have put it behind our back, because we have said it is an outdated book and it is just a book of man and it is full of myths and that, because we have done that and because we have banned prayer from our schools and we have banned the Word of God from our schools, which is not constitutional, and because we have listened to people who do not know the Constitution and we don't know the Constitution, that we have been led astray, we are in darkness, we have believed a lie, and we are about to suffer the consequences as a nation. America is at the crossroads. And you, dear one, need to get on your knees, go to preceptsforlife.com and look at what we have to say about prayer and join us in this grassroots movement. But this is what he says. My eye will show no pity, nor will I spare. I will repay you. Here it is again. According to your ways, while your abominations are in your midst, then you will know that I, the Lord, do the smiting. He says, someday you're going to wake up and you're going to realize it's not Mother Nature, it is Father God. You're going to realize it is not happenstance, it is not circumstance, it is God actively intervening in our lives. And that's what we're going to see as we continue this series. You've got to know truth and you've got to share it. These are precepts for life. And what, beloved, is your precept for life today? What are you going to take away from what you've heard in the Word of God? How are you going to live in the light of His precepts? Remember, the psalmist says in Psalm 119, verse 102, I have not turned aside from your commandments, for you yourself have taught me. That's what Precept Ministries International is all about, helping you so know the Word of God. Study it inductively so that you can say, you yourself, God, have taught me. So what is this precept for life for you and me today? I think it's in those two key phrases that you're going to mark throughout the book of Ezekiel, according to your ways. Remember in Galatians, God says that those that sow to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. Those that sow to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap eternal life. Jesus came that you might have life and not just life. He came that you might have life and have it abundantly. And so He awards us or rewards us or judges us according to our ways. The second thing I want you to understand is that when He does this, it's not without purpose. It is when He judges, it's for the sake of delivering someone from themselves, from their wrong thinking. It is and from their sins that have taken them captive, because He says, then you will know that I am the Lord. He takes you, precious one, to the divine woodshed because He loves you. Those whom He loves, He chastens. He scourgeth every son whom He receives. If you're without chastisement, then you are not legitimate children. So He takes you there in order for you to know that He is the Lord. See you in the next program.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To order your copy of today's program, log on to our website at preceptsforlife.com. To download your free copy of the study guide or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today at 1-800-763-1990. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.